As I said at the beginning, it's lovely to be back with you again today and to bring God's Word, and I trust that that Word will be appropriate to all of our hearts as we gather here today. I want to turn your thoughts this morning to that passage that I read, to Romans chapter 6, and I want to look mainly at verses 17 and 18. Romans chapter 6, as some of you may know, is a chapter that has been controversial. And different theologians hold different views about certain aspects of it. And sometimes friends have even been lost in the debating some of the issues of Romans chapter 6. Well, I'm not going to give anything this morning that I hope will make you lose friends or me lose friends. I hope I'll try and make this as simple as I possibly can. But these two verses that I've mentioned where Paul says, God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin or the slaves of sin, but you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, or to which you were delivered. Being made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness unto God. I'm calling that changing our masters, because that's exactly what Paul is saying to the Romans. He said, you've changed your masters. You're no longer under the master you were under, the master of sin, the master of Satan. You're now under the master of Jesus Christ and his righteousness. When Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones was writing his commentaries on Romans, when he came to chapter 6, he entitled chapter 6, The New Man. And that's exactly what this chapter's about. It's becoming new men, new people. And Dr. Hanley Mole, who was an old bishop of, was a bishop of the Church of England, he described it like another and a new ownership. Another and a new ownership. Basically, what Paul is saying here is this. When we become Christians, there should be a change. There should be a difference. Paul is saying you cannot be a child of God and remain the same way. You cannot profess to be a Christian and stay the way you were. There must be a change. And that's what he's saying to these Roman Christians as he writes this letter. Thanks be to God, he said. You were once the slaves of sin, but now you're the servants of righteousness. Now I want you to note, first of all, the depravity that they knew that Paul mentions here. You were the slaves, the servants, the slaves of sin. You used to be the slaves of sin. You know, that's where we all are before God in his grace reaches us. This is the depravity we're in. We're slaves of sin. We're under the bondage of sin. We're under the rulership of Satan. And Satan makes us do the things that we don't want to do and keeps us so often from doing the things we ought to do. The depravity that they experienced. Think of the reality of it. Men and women, this is real. The fact that men and women without Christ are under the bondage and the grip of Satan and they're slaves to sin, this is real. You only need to step outside the door of this church and travel maybe a little distance up the road and you'll come upon someone that's a slave to sin. They may not feel it, they may not even know it, but they're slaves to sin. And I suppose there are some of us here this morning and we remember that. We can clearly remember that before we gave our lives to Jesus Christ, we were slaves to sin. We were under the domination of sin. We were bound by sin. We couldn't free ourselves. And Paul's saying to the Romans, that's exactly what you once were. There was an old German writer some years ago called Bangle. He was a man who greatly influenced John Wesley in spiritual things. And he puts it this way. By nature, you are married to sin, and you must be a widow ere Christ will wed you. Friend, if we're going to be on the side of King Jesus, we must part with sin. He wants to deliver us from this bondage, this awful depravity that we're under. We're slaves of sin. I remember some years ago going to Stormont, when we were under direct rule, and I think if I remember right, Lord Gary was the man that was looking after affairs here. But I was part of a team representing churches in the province, going to speak to him about something. I just can't remember what it was at the moment, but it was some of the issues concerning abortion or some of the issues concerning some aspect. I can't just remember. But remember, we were speaking to him about the sin of this law they were going to pass and how it was sinful in the sight of God, how it was evil in the sight of God. And I still remember Lord Gary turning to us and saying this, in civil law there is no theology of sin. He may be right, but men and women, there is a theology of sin. And Paul, speaking about it here, you were under the domination of sin before grace came and grace reached you. There's not only the reality of this depravity, friend, there's the cruelty of it. I tell you, I don't think there's anything in our world this morning that is more cruel than sin. The cruelty of being under the bondage and domination of sin, it's a cruel thing. We're slaves. Slaves were beaten. Slaves were bound. Slaves were in bondage. Slaves were treated in a despicable way. Sin treats us that way. I ministered for a number of years just between Cookstown and Dungannon before I retired. And if any of you know Cookstown, it's a big long street. And I used to go and preach sometimes on a Saturday night. I would be away preaching somewhere at a conference or a convention or something. And I was coming back home and I had to make my way right down through that street from the Moneymore side right away through to the Dungannon side. And you know, the street was littered with young people. It was known at that time as the clubbing capital of Mid-Ulster. The street was littered with young folk, some of them lying half naked. Some of them didn't know where they were. They were so stupid. Some of them, the blood running out of their face. They'd been in a fight. Friend, that was supposed to be life. But that's awful bondage. Oh, the cruelty of it. Some of those young folk would waken up the next morning and say, oh, sin has been cruel to me. They probably wouldn't say it that way. But it's been a cruel thing. That's what Paul says about this burden that they're under. The depravity they knew. And if there happens to be anybody in the service this morning and you're still without Christ and without hope, let me tell you, you're still under that depravity. You're still under that cruelty. You're still under the dominion of Satan and sin. And it's cruel, it's brutal, but it's real. It's real. And this is what Paul is speaking to them about. Thomas Goodwin was a Puritan. And he said sometime before he entered the pulpit on a Sunday, his heart would be lifted up in pride. But he said one of the things that helped him to deal with that was to take a walk down among my former sins, as he called it. He didn't mean that he went back to his sins. He remembered what he used to be without the grace of God and what he is now by the grace of God. And men and women, some of us today in this church can probably say the same thing. I remember what I was without Christ. I know what I am now with Christ. I remember what I was in sin and under Satan. Now I know what I am without that. And that's what Paul's saying here to these people. John Newton, as you know, was a godless, blaspheming slave trader, a foul-mouthed man, a brutal man, a cruel man. And then God in his mercy reached John Newton and he was wonderfully saved. And when he became an Anglican vicar, he had a little text placed on the mantelpiece of a study. And that text was from Deuteronomy 15:15, and it read like this, "And you shall remember that you were a bondman in the land of Egypt, but the Lord hath redeemed you." And while I'm pointing out to you this morning the cruelty and the slavery of sin, let me tell you, friend, God can deliver you from that sin. He can take away that sin, as we see in a moment or two. But that's the depravity they knew. The second thing I want you to notice is the doctrine they heard. Notice what Paul says here, that form of doctrine. He said, you were the slaves of sin, but you obeyed that form of doctrine which was delivered you. That's the rendering of the version I read this morning. But it really means that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. When I was a boy going to school in Ballymena, we lived out in the country and we had to get a bus into the town to go to school. But I had to walk a little bit after we got off the bus and to the school, and we passed a foundry every day, and coming back was the same thing. It was just more or less on the street, and we were able to stand in the street and look in. and we could see the molds that were made to pour molten metal into. And sometimes we'd watch this from the street. We'd look in through the door, and we would see those hot, big containers of molten metal, and we could see the molds, and they were pouring the mold in, the metal into the mold. And you know, that metal floated into every little crevice of that mold. That's what Paul's saying here. He says, you Romans, when you heard the gospel, you fitted into it perfectly. Oh, you've floated into every little part of it. He says, that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. You floated into it. Friend, that's the doctrine they heard. Now, what was that doctrine? Let me discuss, first of all, what that doctrine was not. Friend, the doctrine that these people heard that changed them from being the servants of sin to the servants of God was certainly not the kind of doctrine that we have around today. It wasn't certainly the gospel that is being preached in many places today. Friend, the gospel that I hear sometimes in some churches where I am from time to time is certainly not a gospel that would change anybody. It's not this doctrine that you can and just remain the same. It's not this doctrine that you don't need to give up your sin. You can come to Christ without giving up your sin. Friend, that was the change of these people. It wasn't a seeker-sensitive, low-cringe, user-friendly gospel that is being preached around today. It wasn't prosperity preaching. No, it was a different doctrine from that. That's why very few people are getting saved today, because gospel isn't being presented in its purity. I've been reading through Paul's letters to the Corinthians recently, and I was reading again that text of Scripture. If your gospel be hid or veiled, as the word is. And you know, much of the gospel today is being veiled. Well, if that's not the doctrine, what was the doctrine? Friend, the doctrine they heard was basically what Paul had written in the earlier chapter of Romans. And you can break it into three. The first aspect of this doctrine that they heard that changed them so radically was this, that they were lost sinners. They were under the wrath and curse of God, and they were under His just judgment. Paul declares in Romans chapter 3 and verse 19, the whole world is guilty before God. And that's the first part of this doctrine that so radically changed them. Romans chapter 1, we read, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. Man's lostness, man's guilt, man's shame. Friend, that's the first element of this gospel that changed these people. They were aware that they were guilty. They were aware that they were lost. They were aware that they were without Christ, and they were without hope. That's the gospel that was brought to them. And the second aspect of this is this, that they were utterly helpless to do anything for themselves. That is the gospel that changed them. Not only that they were sinners and they were lost, but secondly, they were helpless. They could do nothing to save themselves. Nothing. Apart from the grace of God, they would never be saved. Apart from God's help, they would never be redeemed. But oh, says Paul, you were changed, and this is the gospel. That doctrine you heard, you fitted into it so perfectly. You know, the Greeks with all their philosophy couldn't save them. The Jews with all their law and their oracles couldn't save them. No, it took something more than that. It took the power of God. The third aspect of this gospel that changed them, it's not just that they were lost and guilty and under God's wrath, and that they were helpless and hopeless and unable to save themselves. But the third aspect was this, that God in Christ had done everything that was necessary for their salvation. He'd left nothing undone. He provided a full redemption. He didn't leave them to even fill in the gaps. No, He'd done it all. Friend, that's the doctrine they heard. That's the doctrine into which they fitted perfectly. I came to Christ as a teenager. I didn't know B from a bull's foot as far as theology was concerned. If you'd asked me what theology was, I wouldn't even have known what the word meant. I didn't know anything about Christology or eschatology or any of the other ologies. Friend, I knew three things the night that I came to Christ. I knew I was a lost sinner. I knew that I couldn't save my own soul. But I knew that Jesus had done everything that was needed for my salvation. And on the basis of that night I trusted Christ as my Savior and my Redeemer. The depravity they knew, you're the slaves of sin. The doctrine they heard, friend, it was nothing more than the good, pure, old-fashioned gospel of man's lostness, helplessness, but Christ's ability to save that soul. But notice the third thing here. Notice the diligence they showed. Paul says, you obeyed from the heart that doctrine. Obeyed from the heart, or wholeheartedly obeyed. You know, the Greek preposition here is interesting. The Greek preposition from means literally out of. You obeyed out of the heart. Let me try and illustrate this to you, and it may sound a bit crude. But what Paul is saying is this. It's as if the gospel came to you, and the gospel put its hand right down your throat and pulled everything out in response to the gospel. That's a little bit crude, but that's really what the word is saying. You obeyed out of. Friend, their whole heart went out after the gospel. Every part of the Romans went out after Jesus Christ. This is the diligence they showed. Friend, they weren't coming and making a half-hearted conversion or decision. They were meaning business. They meant to go through with God. They meant to be right with God. They were so genuine they would do anything to come to Christ. They were obeying him from the heart. You obeyed from the heart. That form of gospel or doctrine. I wonder, friend, is this not the problem that's facing the Christian church generally today? We have many, many people sitting in our pews Sunday by Sunday and professing to be Christ, but they've never obeyed from the heart. Their whole being has never been going out after Christ, never been yielded to Christ. But these people obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which has delivered you. I referred to that night that I became a Christian. I was invited to a meeting in Ballymena, and I went under duress. And if you know Ballymena, you'll know there's a place called Harryville Bridge. Friend, that night as I sat in that meeting and listened to the gospel being preached, I was under such a sense of sin and such a sense of need and conviction. I believe the preacher that night has said, if you want to be saved from that sin, go and throw yourself over the river, over the bridge there at Harryville into the river. I would have done it. I was desperate, friend. I reached the point of desperation. I was lost. I longed to be saved. I'd gone through months of misery under the deep convicting power of the Spirit. And that night I came, and as best I knew how, friend, I yielded everything. I went right out after the gospel. And God saved me by his grace on that Sunday evening in that after-church rally in the town of Ballymena. I went after him. The depravity they knew, the doctrine they heard, the diligence they showed. But notice the fourth thing. Will you notice, friend, the deliverance they experienced? Being made free from sin. Here's Paul saying, well, look, you've trusted Christ. You've committed your life to him. You accepted it. You went out after the gospel. You received it in all its purity. And you yielded to it in absolute full obedience. And now, being made free from sin, you've been made free from sin. Now, I don't think Paul's speaking here about sinless perfection. But I don't think it's possible this side of heaven. I think what Paul is speaking here, he's saying this, look, you're no longer slaves to sin. You're no longer slaves to sin. You've been slaves to the devil and to sin. But oh, you're no longer that. You've been freed from that. Sin doesn't have dominion over you. We read that in our passage this morning. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Don't let your members be yielded to sin. I think that's what Paul is speaking about here. He says you're no longer under the domination of sin. Sin might try to tug at you, but you're no longer under his domination. Domination. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Professor F.F. Brucey puts it like this. Being made free from sin. That is, having been liberated from the tyranny of sin. Friend, that's what God's grace does in the gospel. Liberates us from the tyranny of sin. When is there anybody here under Maria this morning? You're sitting in your seat and saying, oh God, I'd love to be liberated from the tyranny of sin. I'd love to be delivered from this slavery I'm in. I would love to be delivered from this bondage to sin.
Here's Paul saying that you can. And the deliverance they experience with being made free from sin. Charles Wesley puts it so powerfully in his great hymn, "Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee." And you'll excuse my personal illustrations this morning, but that Sunday evening that I sat in that meeting and I heard the gospel being preached and my heart went out after it and I yielded to it. I was sick of my sin. I was tired of the conviction and I wanted Christ. I rode a bicycle to that meeting that night. Those were the days when few of us had cars. And I threw the bike outside the building where the meeting was being held, and it was there when I came out again. Wouldn't happen today. But you know, that night as I rode that old bike home, you'd have thought there was no chain on it. I was so free. Oh, I was delivered. I passed from death to life and from the power of sin and Satan unto God. I was a new person, a new creature. As the hymn says, "Heaven above is softer blue, earth around is sweeter green. Something lives in every hue that Christless eyes have never seen." Friend, this is what God can do for you if you've not already done it. Wesley puts it like this again in one of his hymns. "'Twas most impossible of all that here sin's reign in me should cease, yet shall it be. I know it shall. Jesus, I trust thy faithfulness. If nothing is too hard for thee, all things are possible to me." I haven't time this morning to go on at this, but you know, he frees us from sin's guilt. Wonderful to have the guilt of sin taken away. Wonderful to feel that awful guilt that presses upon us and distresses us taken away. Freedom from sin's guilt. Now, we have a next door neighbor. He served in Afghanistan. He served in different places. He was in the army. He's seen some bitter things and he's done some things. But you know, out of the blue, we prayed and prayed and prayed for him. And out of the blue, just 2 weeks ago, on a Saturday, he came into our house. He knocked the door and he came in. He said, "Mr. Shaw, I want to get saved." He's our next door neighbor. But he said, "I don't want to get saved today. I want to get saved tomorrow." That was Sunday. 4 o'clock on that Sunday, I heard the doorbell ring and I went in there with Sam. I brought him in. Discovered for 2 years he'd been through this misery of conviction, going through the terrible pains of longing to be right with God and knowing he wasn't right with God. And that day in our home, I led Sam to the Lord. You know, when I pointed him to Christ, he just looked at me and he said, "I've peace now. I've peace now." Men and women, freedom from sin's guilt, freedom from sin's condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Freedom from sin's punishment. The wrath of God that was our due is gone. Of course, one day, by the grace of God, we'll be freed from sin's very presence. What a day that's going to be when we sin no more. When there's no sin there, when it's not in us to sin. It's going to be marvelous. Paul says, this is the deliverance that you knew. You were freed from sin. But there's another thing I want you to point out to you today is this. The depravity they knew, the doctrine they heard, the diligence they showed, the deliverance they experienced. But notice the difference that resulted. Paul says, look, this is the result of you obeying this gospel. Now you're the servants of righteousness. They were running after sin before, now they're running after righteousness. Oh, men and women, this is what the gospel does. It makes us long for God. It makes us long to be holy. It makes us long to be pure. It makes us long for righteousness, for godliness, to be like Jesus, to be different men and women. It makes us long for that. They're enslaved to sin, but this is the difference. They're servants of righteousness. Servants of righteousness. You know, before we come to Christ, We run after sin. We love it. We cherish it. It wouldn't matter what it cost us, we would go after it. It wouldn't matter if it cost us our lives, we would go after it. But then we become servants of righteousness. Friend, why is it we don't run after righteousness and after godliness the way we run after sin? We travel miles to get sin. We would spend any money to get sin. But you know, when we become servants of righteousness, sometimes we don't treat righteousness that way. But this is the difference that resulted. They became the servants of righteousness. This is why I said that my title of my message this morning was Changing Your Masters. Changing Your Masters. Oh, it's a wonderful thing when you get to that point where you can see the result. Say, I long for God now. I used to long for sin. I used to long for the dens of iniquity. Now I love the church. I love the people of God. I love the things of God. I love to get to the prayer meeting. I love to sing the songs of Zion instead of the songs of the devil. You were the servants of sin, but you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I should have made two or three sermons out of this morning, for far too much paper here. But I hope you're getting the message all right. And you know, the last thing I want to leave with you this morning is this. Depravity they knew, the doctrine they heard, the diligence they showed, the deliverance they experienced, the difference that resulted. But notice, will you, the delight expressed. God be thanked. God be thanked. I'm going to ask you to do something today if you haven't done it before. Friend, if you have known what I'm preaching about this morning, if you've known what it is to be delivered from the slavery of sin and brought under the slavery of righteousness, if I could put it that way, will you go home today and get down on your knees and say, thank God I'm not what I used to be. Thank God I'm not the old sinner I used to be. Thank God I've known what it is to be translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Just spend a little moment and say, thank God I'm no longer like that. Thank God I no longer desire those things. And maybe not what I would be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. Here's Paul saying, God be thanked. Folks, you know, we've got a great deal to thank God for this morning. I don't know where I would have been today if God hadn't saved me. I probably would have been in hell. I certainly wouldn't be standing here preaching to you. I certainly wouldn't be able to look back over 50 plus years when I've known the Lord and known His mercy and His grace and all His help and His encouragement, knowing the thrill of leading people to Christ, knowing the thrill of seeing missionaries going out to the foreign field, knowing the thrill and joy of seeing God use me. But you know, I can stand here this morning and say, God be thanked that I once was a slave of sin, but through God's grace, I'm now the servant or the slave of righteousness. May God bless you and may God help you. Let's have a little prayer. Father, we thank you for this great truth this morning. And while it might sound radical, we thank you, Lord, it's real. And Father, we believe that we need radical believers in these days who love the Lord so much and love the souls of men. And Lord, are totally and fully committed to you through the gospel of Jesus Christ. So bless this word in Jesus' name. Amen.